right. Thank you, ladies. Well, let's open our Bible to the subject we were on last Sunday. And we'll ask you to open your Bible to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 11. We won't go through the whole chapter, even though I wish you would, just to be familiar with it. You find the first verse that the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them. And truthfully, in this book of Leviticus, you have the Lord more directly speaking than any other book in the Bible. And has a lot to do with practical things. And of course, it's directed to Israel, to the Israelites, and has a lot of practical things for them. It's still, we would be beneficial to practice today, and we do practice some of it today for sure. But my subject last week was what the Bible has to say about diet or food, or what you can eat and what you shouldn't eat. And so that sounds like meddling, and it's is to some degree. And you say, well, that's kind of you know, that's going to get after me. Well, it'll get after all of us as far as that goes. But we understand that we're talking now about rules and regulations given under the law in the Old Testament and given to the Jews. So we got to keep that in mind. You and I don't live then. We live under grace. I'm sure thankful we live under grace. And we can do things now without it being a sin. And let me say this, and I keep after repeating this. What you eat does not bring you any merit with God, or what you don't eat don't bring you any merit with God. You're no better Christian whether you eat or you don't eat something. Some cases you may get to heaven quicker if you eat it. But we joke a little bit about that. You've heard all the cliches. You've heard that we live off of half of what we eat, and the doctors live off the other half. You've heard things like that, haven't you? And there's some truth to that, probably no doubt about it. But we're looking a little bit into the scripture. I think it'll be beneficial for us. And to review a little bit, we went to Genesis chapter 1 and found out there that to start with, plants and fruits or herbs were given. We went to Psalms 104 and found out that everything comes out of the earth, that you and I are made of the dust of the earth, and therefore we're sustained by it. By the way, when we send astronauts to the moon, they can't live up there. They have to take some of the earth with them. You understand that? They have to take some of the food that was grown here on earth. They can't go up there and harvest corn, amen? So we need to understand we are, the Bible says, of the earth, earthy. That's where we came from. That's where we're going back far as the physical part. And by the way, when we're talking about food and eating, we're talking about the physical part. We're talking about the body. Now, before the fall, before Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, they basically were given the vegetables to eat or the herbs of the garden. After the flood, things changed. After the flood, we read in Genesis chapter 9, where Noah was then given the right to eat the animals. And from that point on, the animals seemed to pick up a fear of man that they didn't have before. And in most cases through history, animals have feared man. It's kind of wore off now, and the closer we get to the tribulation period, the more it's going to wear off. I read the story one time where a man fell out of his perch, wherever it was, and he was lion hunting or big cat hunting of some kind, and by accident lost his gun, fell down in front of the creature and expected to be devoured. And the thought came to him, God put a fear of man on the animals, and he just hollered, and the cat turned and ran away. Now, don't trust that. But it happened, according to the man's story. Now, things are changing today. I think you even see it in the news every now and then, where animals that used to seem to run away will turn and fight anymore. They say that a polar bear will actually track a man down and so forth. But Noah got word from God that he could eat the animals after the flood. The lifespan before the flood was longer than it was afterwards. A lot of excuses for that, a lot of theories on it. Don't know for sure. Of course, the vegetarian will tell you it's because they started eating meat. I'm not sure about that. Others say it was the ultraviolet rays of the sun was different after the water canopy broke in the flood, and there may be some truth to that. But we pick up new instructions now in the book of Leviticus in chapter 11, where God is speaking. And let's read just a few verses of it. Pick it up with me here in verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel. Notice who it's addressed to, children of Israel. These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Now, when I was a kid, a young kid on the farm, we left when I was about almost 5 years old, but then we went back in the summer, so I got a lot of farm experience. I used to hear the adults talk about I didn't know what they were talking about, but they were talking about this thing of chewing the cud and having the split hoof and so on. I'd hear that talked about every now and then among them, and I didn't know. But then you have exceptions going down here. In that verse 3, we would find cattle to be legal. We'd find sheep to be legal. We'd find goats to be legal, and perhaps some other things. Nevertheless, verse 4, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud. Do I have to stop and explain science to you, chew the cud? Oh, I'm not going to do it. But how many ever watched a cow re-chew her dinner? Amen. I read a little joke one time. The preacher probably wrote it. He said the only difference, he was talking about not chewing gum in church. Don't swallow yours if you got it. He was talking about not chewing gum in church. He said the only difference in a gum-chewing girl and a cud-chewing cow is the intelligent look on the face of the cow. So we understand what chewing cud is, I think. Anyway, here you'd find in verse 3, the cattle and the sheep and the goats would be legal, but now some exceptions down in verse 4. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And by the way, if you read some of the stuff, how they live off the camel in the Middle East still today. By the way, you can go over today and still see wild camels out in the desert and so on. It's still the sustainer of life for many tribes and groups of people in that part of the world today. He's unclean. Then here we have a controversy. We don't know for sure what it is. In verse 5, the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. Now, if you look that up in most reference books, most of them will get around to kind of calling it some type of rabbit. But there seems to be a little difference, because I won't turn to it, but you could turn over to Psalms and Proverbs and find a reference to the coney, and you'll find there's a little creature that lives in the rocks. Now, rabbits don't quite fit that living quarters as much. You wouldn't think about that as much. Rabbits generally hang around the green stuff, get in your garden if they can. Not too long ago, by the way, there's all kind of rabbits, so it could still be in the rabbit type family. Not too long ago, I was out in the garage doing a little work, and I started hearing this pitiful cry and whine. And I finally looked around inside of my house, behind the garage, is grown up vegetation, really since the storms blew a lot of trees in it. But originally it was a canal, and it is if you walk out in it and get past the greenery. I finally traced the sound, and I looked out there, and 10 or 20 feet out in the lily pads and the brush in the water was a swamp rabbit. Now, there's a difference in a swamp rabbit and a cottontail. most of you Florida boys would know that. There is a difference. The darker color for the swamp rabbit and don't have the little white cottontail on it and so forth. About the same size. Swamp rabbits generally a little bigger. Anyway, that swamp rabbit had gotten too close and an alligator had got him. And the alligator had pulled him out, but he was having trouble pulling him down under the pads and stuff. And you say, why didn't you help him? That would not have been politically correct. Do you understand that? The environmentalists could get you for either one. You can't choose sides like that. Plus, I didn't have time and wasn't about to go out there and wrestle an alligator and that snaky stuff. I was not kin to the rabbit. I don't believe I was. So anyhow, he screamed a while and carried on a while, but he finally lost the battle. And it's a different kind of rabbits. And the coney probably could be in that rabbit family. He living up in the rocks, smaller creature. I don't know. He has the same thing as a rabbit, chewing the cud, but not dividing the hoof. Now, when you get down to verse 6, you got the word hair. So that makes me think, and that's a rabbit family, but a bigger rabbit generally. And most of the time when you think of a hare, you think of those big old rabbits out in Texas. You see them out there, Kevin? They tell all kind of stories on those big old rabbits running fast and outside the road in Texas. One of the best jokes I've heard on one was that a fellow was going down the road and he hit one and knocked him over and figured he'd killed him and jumped out and he was real sad about it now. Most of us would not have been that sad. We'd just look to see if it messed up our car. But anyway, he jumped out worrying about the rabbit. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't intend to hit you. Oh, I'm so sorry. And about that time, another car stopped. And a Catholic priest got out of it. And he come and stood beside the man, comforted him a little bit. And the guy was taking on about killing the rabbit. Finally, the priest pulled out a bottle of water and sprinkled the rabbit, the hare. And the old hare jumped up and took off, run away. And that driver looked at the Catholic priest. He said, I apologize to you. I never thought there was any power in that stuff, in that water. And the priest said, well, what do you think this is? He said, well, it's holy water, isn't it? He said, no, it's hair restore. Well, a little funny, but the hare here is a bigger rabbit, at least in our culture today, we'd recognize it. But now it's telling you not to eat it. Now, there's a lot of folks eat rabbits. They're raised to eat, and yet we eat them. Now, under grace, you can eat it if it don't eat you, if you want to. I keep saying that. But I'm telling you, the Lord did have some restrictions here on things. He gave them ways to identify the clean and the unclean. Now, the next one's the one that's going to hurt us all. That's in verse 7. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Now, many religions, really, like Islam, makes a big deal over the uncleanliness of the swine. Now, most of us in here wouldn't be alive if we hadn't eaten bacon and pork chops and stuff growing up. Again, I'm thankful for grace, aren't you? Amen. Now, God says no on the swine. Now, he's given this to Israel, and of course, a lot of his stuff was also given as the people traveled 40 years in the wilderness out there. And the swine is definitely forbidden. It's an unclean animal, and that's what it says in verse 7. Verse 8, of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. Now, we know today maybe what the Israelites did not know at the time, and that is that especially raw or not cooked enough pork is very dangerous. And I do hope you know that. There's a little disease called trichinosis that you can get from raw pork. And what it really is little microscopic, what we call worms, that works in that flesh. Right here in Haines City, and it's been so many years ago, nobody will know who I'm talking about. And I didn't know the man personally, but I knew the story because a lady that worked with him in a meat market, one of the old stores many years ago. And they chopped the meat to order and all of that in the store. And she said he got into a habit. There's chips of meat, you know, on the left around on the chopping block and stuff. And he said he got in the habit of often picking up a little tiny piece of raw beef or raw pork and chewing it. And she said, I never did, but said he got into that habit. She said after some time, he got sick and kept having more problems and got sick as well as beginning to lose his eyesight. And finally, she said the ultimate diagnosis from the doctor, and he died of it, was he had gotten trichinosis from that raw meat. She said it was a horrible thing because the little old worms worked on his muscles, and said it actually, first she said you could see it as it worked behind his eyes with the muscles that held him into the socket, and as they went bad, his eyes wanted to hang out. Awful thing, she said. She told me that story. And so you see, God never tells you something that's not best for you. And oftentimes the warning is there whether we heat it or not. Now, do I eat pork? Yes, I do. But I am a little careful because I know the Bible about wanting it really cooked. cook it good. And by the way, that's Bible for some of you fellas that you like your beefsteak raw. That's not Bible either. And I'm not meddling, I'm just telling you. The Bible says you're not to eat the blood, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that. And so I've had fellows, and I've eat with them, where they would have their steak, it looked like blood on the plate. Not for me. I want it cooked. I want it cooked pretty well. I oftentimes will tell them, they say, how you want it fixed? You want it rare? You want it medium? You want it well done? I say, well done. Now, I do that. Sometimes I get it too well done. But that's still safe ground. And that's, again, just, I think, good common sense. Health-wise, I think it takes some of the chance away of trouble there. But anyway, here's the warnings that was given to Israel. Now you're not going to like the rest of this either. And I'm not going to finish this lesson if I get too long into this chapter. But verse 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever have fins and scales. See, he's given us some identifying marks. So fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. All right, what would that be? Well, that'd be perch and trout and you name it. Verse 10, and all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. You're not going to like verse 10 because you like catfish. And catfish don't have scales. You have to skin them, don't you? Now, you say, why would the Lord won't take my catfish away? Well, he don't. He's telling Israel about this. But now, here's a good rule of thumb, and you'll find it in this chapter. It'll explain it to you pretty well. In this chapter, here's what you find out. You'll find out that the Lord calls things unclean depending on what those things themselves eat. Did you get that? He calls them clean depending on what they eat, and unclean depending on what they don't eat, because truthfully, you are what you eat. There's a sense we're all vegetarians, to get it right. Because even the beef I eat grew up on vegetation. Understand? But there are things called scavengers. And you might be surprised what some of them are. Did you ever see what a possum will eat? I mean, you know what a possum is. But a lot of people lived off of possums. But a possum is a scavenger. You let old armadillo get run over on the road, and the possum finds him, he'll eat him. Am I spoiling your lunch? I'm just telling you the truth. How many of you know what buzzards eat? Vultures. I had a buzzard experience last Wednesday. I'd already left for church Wednesday night, and I always come early, and Sonia was trying to get ready, and she called me on the phone. She said, our power went off. I said, well, it wasn't raining. I said, you hear thunder or something? She said, no, everything went off. And I said, what about the neighbors? Well, she didn't know. But by the time, in fact, Brother Terry Donahue helped me out greatly. He jumped in the car and ran out there and then come back and told me what had happened. It had started sprinkling rain, but no thunder and lightning. And a buzzard, vulture, had got wet and got on those wet wires at the transformer next to our garage. And he got between two wires, and you talk about roasted buzzard. He was roasted. And Terry got out there in time to see him fall out on the ground. I got out there and next morning with a shovel and took care of him. But buzzards are scavengers. We know what they eat, don't we? Anything that stinks, in fact, that's what attracts them to it. It's something nasty. Now, the Bible warns you about eating, and it lists all these birds, and it goes down through the hawk, through the raven, it goes down through the vulture, goes down to these, and there's a long list of them, tells you not to eat them. Because, and by the way, I had a fellow, he's not in church right now, he could be listening on the radio. He's telling me about one time going camping and trying to eat, what's these things called, osprey or something? Now, he was a young guy, excuse him for that, but he said, I tried to eat it, it was too tough, I couldn't chew it. I guess you get out hunting and don't kill something, you'll try to eat your boots, you know. But anyway, those things are on the no-no list here in Leviticus, especially several different ones of them. Now the catfish, he doesn't have scales. I've eaten them anyway. First fish I ever caught in Florida when I was about 6 years old was a catfish. My uncle in Georgia, and almost all the farmhouses at that time had outside wells. Deep well dug down and a bucket and a rope, and some of them had covers open and some of them didn't. But I remember going out at night with my uncle. He had this long flashlight with several batteries in it. We'd go down to check on the mules or something at the barn, and we'd walk back by the well, and he'd shine that light down and kind of help me up where I could look over the rail and look down in there. And he was a good fisherman, my uncle was, and he always kept catfish in the bottom of his well. And we'd see their eyes with that light. Now, what my uncle didn't know was he was putting buzzard fish in his well. He said, and he knew this, he said, they eat off the bottom and keep things clean. Fine, but what are we drinking the water off of what they expel? You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever had an aquarium with a fish in it? Did you have to change the water? But somehow we lived through that. Because that's where the bucket went down. I'd got the water his wife cooked with. It was put on the back porch, and it was in a big old pail, and you had a dipper to drink it with, right off the catfish. So thank God for grace again. Amen. But that is an abomination. Now, let's go a little bit further here. Verse 12. Whatsoever hath no fins or scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. Now, can you put on your thinking cap as to what that is? How many of you like shrimp? Got you. I do like shrimp. I don't like lobster. I just think it looks like a big old creepy, dirty thing to me, so I don't like it. I don't like to go in to see them in the aquarium out there in the front. You know, they advertise. That's not advertisement for me. I'm just still too finicky over my eating to go out there and do that. But anyway, That's on the no-no list. Again, thank God for grace. Amen. Then verse 13 deals with the eagle and some of the birds you're not. And then it keeps on mentioning the creeping things here. By the way, it also identifies some insects that you could eat here in chapter 11. Did you see the article where the UN, the United Nations, not long ago was coming out with all the famine in the world, how that it'd be good for them to feed them insects? Anybody see that? That's fairly recent. There's countries and people that live off those things. As I was walking out in the garage this morning, there's a great big old black lizard run out. And I said, you just get fat. I'm gonna eat you one day. Things get hard enough. Now, that'd be pretty hard for her to do that. But there's a lot of people live off those things. They really do. And truthfully, they may not be as dirty as the pig or the catfish is. I don't know. But there's creeping things here that you're warned against in chapter 11. There's things that you can eat. I remember when I was in junior high, I believe, maybe high school, right here in town. I remember we had an exchange student from somewhere, Korea, China, somewhere over there. And one day we were out there, you know, they'd punish you in school sometime. They could do it then. They could make you duck walk. How many of you know what duck walking is? They'd go to jail for that now. Crazy world. They'd make you pull the weeds out of the grass. I mean, you had detention to serve. You just didn't sit there in an air-conditioned building and sleep. You went out there and pulled the weeds and the sand spurs out of the grass. So we were out there doing something like that. And probably being unjustly punished. You understand that, right? But anyway, we were out there doing that, and there was a hedge around the building. Just a regular hedge, up about 4 foot high. And all of a sudden, this exchange student just went to shouting and carrying on, and he said, "Look at all that candy in that hedge." We said, "What are you talking about?" And it was these great big old, I call them Georgia thumper grasshoppers, about 3 inches, 4 inches long, all kind of colors. And there was a pile of them in that hedge. And he was grabbing those grasshoppers. And he was telling us, "This is candy where I come from. This is something good to eat." Did you ever see one squished? We didn't try them. And he didn't in front of us, but that's what he was telling us. Now, truthfully, there's some creeping things that you'll later find out could be eat, but basically some of that stuff is condemned. Now, the locust here in verse 22, John the Baptist ate locusts, and somebody wants to say it was a nut off a tree. No, the Bible meant what it said. It knows the difference in a locust and a nut. And he was eating locusts. Why locusts and honey, the scripture tells us. And then you get on down to verse 27. I'm jumping around now in chapter 11 of Leviticus. "And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all the manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you." Well, that's the cats, the big cats, amen? Now, it's probably long enough the statute of limitations is off of it. But I had a brother that used to do a lot of hunting. Actually, almost had him a business. He had his clients, his customers. And I went rabbit hunting with him sometime, and he'd kill a bunch of rabbits and sometimes sell them undressed and sometimes dress them and sell them. And I guess one particular night, he and his buddies didn't find any rabbits. They found some things with padded claws. Long tails. Some folks call them cats. And they shot a few of them. And they cut off the tail, made it short like a rabbit, and dressed it out, and sold it to their customers and about run their business. Now you say, "That's funny." Well, pretty serious, I guess, in a way. But anyway, good riddance far as I'm concerned, but that's just my opinion. Anyhow, with all that said, that's forbidden to eat. Now, there's places right here in America. I was in one of the one of the biggest churches out in California. I'm talking about really fine facilities, nice facilities, big crowd of people. And I was out there with the preacher, and he was joking with his congregation, because his congregation is very international. He's got Koreans, he's got Japanese, he's got Chinese, he's got all kind of folks in that congregation. And I mean a good independent Baptist church. And he was up there joking with the pulpit that we live in the cleanest community around here you'll ever find. And he looks at me and he says, you can't find a cat or a dog around here unless somebody's got a collar on him and got him in the house. He said they eat them, and all the congregation just kind of roared their approval. Made a believer out of me. Maybe they did. I'd like to have, we'll get on to that. Anyway, that's forbidden. The cat family here is forbidden. And yet this was dietary laws given to Israel. It was not for their salvation. It was for their health, to try to keep them well. And it worked. They came out of the wilderness journey with God feeding them, and they came through it with good health. And quite frankly, I don't know, this is deviating a little bit from the food thing, but if you read it close, the generation that went up to the border of Kadesh Barnea and were afraid to go in because of the giants, God sent them back into the wilderness until they died off, and then he let their kids go in and take the promised land. And you'll find those kids raised under these dietary laws out in the 40 years of the wilderness, and you'll find them being the strongest generation that came in and took the promised land and trusted and obeyed and followed the leadership of Joshua until they died off. That was the best generation just about you'll find of the Israelites that followed the law of the Lord, and the Lord fed them and took care of them in the wilderness. That generation is worth, it kind of is an outstanding generation that did that. Now, is it a sin today to eat all these things here in Leviticus 11? No. I don't have time, but I'd like for you to get the reference, because I'm going to get blamed for being legalistic and teaching this and teaching that. Or go nail your tongue to a post and walk off. It's not true. I go to Acts chapter 10, and I show you, I will next week maybe, Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius is praying, and an angel appears and causes him to send for Peter. And when they get to find Peter, Peter is hungry, waiting on him to fix lunch. And God puts him in a trance and sends down some animals, unclean animals, from heaven, and tells Peter to rise and kill and eat. And Peter says, no, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Jewish dietary laws. God said, what I've called clean, don't thou call unclean or common. What was God teaching Peter? I'm going to send you to the house of the Gentiles, the ones you think's unclean, and I want you to share the gospel with them. So he was teaching Peter a lesson there by using the clean and unclean animals. And so remember which side of the Bible you live on. On this side of the cross, thank God for his grace. Still, you might be wise. For instance, today, I said we practice some stuff today. We still don't eat buzzards today. We don't eat unclean birds today. And even some of the unclean animals, the cats and so on, we basically don't. We basically still are raised to a great degree on much of what the Bible says is clean and unclean. Fellows may go dove shooting or quail hunting and eat the birds, but they don't go raven hunting and eat them, right? So there is some stuff we still hold to, rightfully so, wisely so.